It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the American Pipeline podcast presented by BetMGM and McKinney Hockey. I am Mike Stevens. This is Sydney Wolf from The Rink Live. Sydney, Youngstown has won the Clark Cup. It happened.
It did. It happened. And we said last week it was kind of in surprising fashion. I feel like it's not often you get to the championship match where it's like a best of however many game series in whatever league, and then someone just comes in and sweeps it. I feel like that's not... Doesn't happen very often. So I think everybody was a little surprised, not because Youngstown was bad or anything, but just because it was kind of crazy. So, you know, Fargo kind of cursed a little bit. I think people said, you know, that curse of winning the regular season came into play maybe a little bit. I don't know. So I was really excited. I tried to watch that game. There was a bunch of games going on this weekend at the same time. So I had a bunch of different like tabs open on my computer to watch all these different games, but I was watching it and yeah, I don't know. Youngstown must have just been super excited about being in the Clark Cup, and they sweep the best five series 3-0. So they just win all three and they take the cup right away. So honestly, just a huge 2 weeks for them, and they just played like awesome. So that was kind of surprising, but cool to see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can't remember the last time there's been a sweep in the Stanley Cup final. Like I think, what do we have to go back to? Like, I believe Florida got swept the last time they did, and that was 96, the year I was born. So I literally can't remember. That's remarkable. Why don't we start with just kind of going down the list of you know, key contributors in the series, I guess, starting with Andon Serbone, who just seemed to really put his stamp on the game.
Yeah, and I mean, he had the lone goal. It was kind of strange, actually. That final third game was just 1-0. It wasn't like a high scoring game or anything. There was only one goal, and that decided the whole entire game, which was kind of crazy. So it was just him, and I was watching this play too. It was kind of, you know, an unfortunate play if you're Fargo, because Fargo was back in their own zone. One of their defensemen, I assume, tries to make a pass out of the zone up towards the middle of the ice towards the forward. And here comes Andon Serbone, who just must have knew exactly where that pass was going, because he just swooped it right up and then just wasn't too far away from the goal at that point and then just shot to score. So that was the only goal of the game, was he just swooped up a pass that was meant for Fargo to Fargo player, grabbed it, intercepted it, shot, scored. And I just realized this actually. So he's a Quinnipiac commit. And the guy he scored on for Fargo was actually his future teammate in goal. So I bet that might be kind of funny for them maybe in the next few years if they are at Quinnipiac and being like, dang, dude, why did you have to score that one against me, man? I mean, because that'd be kind of, I don't know, hard if you're like, okay, well, I'm glad for him because we're going to play together at some point. But yeah, that was definitely a tough one. But he was just awesome. I mean, he had a massive playoff run. He had 9 points in 9 games, so he was really good all year too. But I mean, he just had, I don't know, some players it seems like just really like that pressure and like playing in playoffs and like trying to do their best and win a championship, and he just did awesome. I mean, he had an awesome season anyway. But yeah, 5 goals, 4 assists over 9 games. He was kind of on fire, and yeah, he got the one goal that won it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you talk about it, it was only one goal, which means on the other side, there was a goalie who was kind of standing on his head, and that happened to be Jacob Fowler with a 22-save shutout.
Yeah, and Jacob Fowler, he also had, you know, a really good season, obviously, but just another guy that really took off in the playoffs this year. I mean, that's kind of all of Youngstown, if you look at it. They all were good, but they just really, really did good once they were like, okay, we're gonna try to win the cup here. And he was awesome. He had a shutout in that game. I think for him, he really is, you know, as much as he could towards the end of the season, is just boosting his draft stock for this summer, like game by game. He's 6'2", so he's got pretty decent size also. So I think he's definitely going to hear his name called, and a team's going to want him because he was really good in the playoffs. He was really good in the regular season. He had a ton of wins this year and had a really good save percentage and shutout in the cup clinching game. So he was just awesome. And then a couple other players I put on here too, like Will Whitelaw, I think really established himself as a great player. I mean, he's a guy where I look at his draft rankings, I guess, for this summer, and they're kind of all over the place. Some people have him ranked higher, some people have him ranked a little lower. Like, he's going to get drafted, but it's kind of like, well, where? I don't know. But he also was really good, and he had 36, I think it was, or like 36 regular season goals or something. Goals.
Yeah,
which is insane. It's really good. So I think he really solidified himself. And then Edmonton pick too, Shane LaChance, also was awesome. We talked about him recently. So
literally last episode, I believe.
Yeah, like literally an episode ago. So Just everybody on Youngstown seemed to just like really step up when it came time for them to be like, okay, we can win this. So everybody did really good. And I think there's some draft prospects on there that really winning the cup probably put a little bit more attention on them and maybe might boost them up a couple of spots on where they get chosen this summer. But yeah, really interesting. I mean, the Phantoms come out, they sweep it 3-0, and they have the cup now. So kind of crazy, and just props to everybody on their team because they played really well.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, with Shane LaChance, like, That's the one thing the Edmonton Oilers are missing is high-end talent, clearly. So, you know, just an embarrassment of riches, it seems like they have. all right, moving on to the NCAA, we got our news. We were speculating all last episode whether or not Logan Cooley was going to come back, and lo and behold, he is. It shouldn't have been too much of a surprise given the chaos that's surrounding the Arizona Coyotes as an organization. But Logan Cooley is coming back for another year of hockey. He's joining Bryce Brzezinski, Justin Close, Jimmy Snuggerud, and Jackson Nelson, who are returning. Huge names, specifically with Cooley. What does this mean?
Yeah, that's just insane. We literally said last episode, like, it's coming soon. And I think it was either later that day after we recorded, like later that night or the next day. So it was right around when we recorded our last pod. He announced he's coming back. I think it was that day after they announced the Arizona news or something like that. So I assume that probably played a part in his decision for him. You might as well come back. I mean, he was so close to winning the Hobie this year. He might as well just come back, tear it up again. You might as well try and win it. And the Gophers too, they have so many good players coming back. You already listed off a bunch of them. So if you already got a bunch of these good guys coming back, you made the national championship game. I mean, you got a lot of the same people. So, I mean, it's not like he's coming back to a team that's losing a bunch of people. He's coming back to a team that's retaining a lot of the talent. So a lot of those guys announced they're coming back. I know one too that hasn't signed or said he's coming back yet, Ryan Johnson. I believe he has to sign with Buffalo, because if he doesn't, then I think they
lose his rights.
Yeah, they lose his rights. So that's going to be interesting to watch.
I believe that the deadline for that is August 15th.
It's sometime later this summer. So
I believe it's August 15th.
Might be something we have to like wait and like watch on. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what he's going to do. I assume he would probably sign, but if all of your like best players on your team are like, we're coming back, maybe that kind of makes you think about it a little bit, I guess, if like all of the best players are like, we're coming back. So I don't know. And then it's in some less huge coming back news, but I know St. Lawrence too announced two other guys, Cam Buell and Josh Boyer, are returning too. So a couple of returning news bits are starting to come into play for college hockey, but Logan Cooley, obviously like the huge one of last week. So huge if you're a Minnesota fan.
Absolutely huge. Yeah. And, you know, we have some other returning players here. Obviously, you know, St. Lawrence St. Lawrence announced that Cam Buell and Josh Boyer returning for fifth year. Pretty big.
Yeah. Again, just like, again, they're not like huge top level players like Logan Cooley, but it's always fun for your team if you're like, oh, we get to see these guys one more time. And both of those guys didn't really seem like they were, I don't think, ready to make that next step yet. And if you're a college hockey player, you're probably like, I want to come back for a fifth year. Like, why would I not?
Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. Unless you're getting like a big somebody that really wants to sign you for a lot of money, you might as well. So good news for them too. They're keeping back two players that have a lot of experience and coming back for a fifth year.
Love to see it. All right. Well, there's some other news we can tackle here, starting with Long Island University. You know, bit of a not as well-known program, but they got a nice little player in Anthony Vincent, who really played well for the San Jose Barracuda, which is the AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks, towards the end of the year. And he's now signed an AHL deal for next season. So congratulations, Anthony Vincent. That is pretty great.
Yeah, he was really good. He was one of those guys that kind of just randomly took off in college hockey this past year. He played for Holy Cross originally and it did like fine, but he wasn't necessarily like a crazy good player stats wise or anything. And then he transferred to Long Island for his fifth year and had over a point per game, just decided to explode, I guess. So kind of just one of those players who I think just randomly took off this last year. But yeah, then he joined the Barracuda for 14 games and did pretty good. So they ended up signing him for next year. And then I just saw recently too that the Barracuda also signed Ethan Frisch, who played for North Dakota, for next year as well. So a couple guys that they'll have in their pipeline. And I think both of those guys are good prospects to have if you're a San Jose fan and like seeing who they have in their pipeline.
Absolutely. All right. Well, here we go. We have Cole Christian of Duluth East High School. You know, some Minnesota high school stuff right down your alley, Sydney, which is great. He has committed to Air Force. He's a smaller guy. But again, as we've said on the show, we don't hate on our short kings.
Yeah, so there we had a little bit of Minnesota high school commitment news here at the end of the season. And yeah, he's definitely not the biggest guy. He's only listed as 5'8", but he was another guy too that really just had an awesome, like, yeah, he was a senior in high school this year, had a huge season. He had 69 points in 28 games, which is really, really big. So he had this huge season, committed to Air Force. So he got that Division I commitment. He's going to be in their pipeline. He did sign a NAHL tender with Anchorage for next year. So I assume he's probably got a year or two of junior hockey before he heads off to Air Force. But I think that's going to be a really good recruit for them because he's proven that he can be an elite scorer at least at the high school level. And we'll see how he does in the NAHL next year.
I don't care what level you're at. Scoring over 2 points per game in any level, that's a good sign.
It's pretty good. Yeah, that's so a pretty good sign. Him.
Yeah. All right, then we got Jake Toll, Rosemount High School, committed to Minnesota Duluth. So, you know, all Minnesota.
Yeah, and this one just came yesterday, so I thought I'd mention this one. And this guy, I think, is going to become more and more of a bigger name here. He's also a big guy, 6'3", left-shot defenseman. Finished up his senior season of high school this year with over a point per game. And then he actually joined the NAHL after the season, and he did really good there, too. He had 8 points in 13 games. And if I'm remembering correctly, he was taken fairly high in the phase two USHL draft. So I assume he would probably be one of those guys who would be playing USHL next year and then headed to UMD eventually. But another guy that I think is probably a pretty good pick. And for UMD, it's a bigger defenseman who also has put up some points. So a good player to have. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that he committed to UMD. So that was cool.
Absolutely. All right. Now we got Griffin Jarecki. He's flipped his commitment. He was going to Denver. Now he's going to Michigan State. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, we had a couple of flipped commitments. And I think just at the end of the season now, with colleges kind of looking at who they have on their, you know, pipeline, their recruits list, with the transfer portal, it's like, okay, are we going to bring in some transfers? How many spots do we have? Are guys coming back for their fifth year? So everybody's kind of looking at their roster, how many spots they have. And sometimes, you know, some guys might want to go into college this upcoming year, not play another year of juniors. And I assume that was probably the case for Griffin. It sounds like he's likely going to Michigan State for this fall. He wouldn't have to because he does have another year of junior eligibility, but he's already played like three full USHL seasons. So I assume he probably wants to move on. So I would assume he's planning to be at Michigan State for this next year. He's a 5'10" forward and he had 25 points this year in the USHL. He played for Omaha this year and then played the past 2 years for Lincoln. He's also from Michigan. So I'm sure for him, it was probably cool to get a commitment from a school that's in his home state. So I assume he's going to be headed there this fall. And yeah, Denver has kind of a long list of commits. So maybe they were like, it's might be better for you to go somewhere you can go in this fall or something like that.
Absolutely. All right. Now we also got Martin Slavens. He's flipped his commitment. Another flip from St. Cloud to New Hampshire. So we got some flip-flopping here.
Yeah, this one I wasn't too surprised about either, just being a St. Cloud fan, and I know a lot about the people in their pipeline. They have a lot of forward and center commits right now, and I just think for him, another guy who probably wants to move on to college this fall because he just finished up his second full year in the USHL, so I assume he probably wanted to move on to college hockey this fall. So I assume he's going to be going to New Hampshire coming up in just a few months here. He just finished up with Cedar Rapids. He played 2 years there. He had 24 points in 50 games this year, mostly played center. He's 6 foot, and he played in the World Junior Cup for Latvia the past few years. So a good international player there. And unfortunately, I don't think St. Cloud had a spot for him this year. And even next year, I know they have a lot of forward recruits. So probably good for him to make the move to somewhere that can bring him in right away.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Here we are moving on to the Knoll. We don't talk about the Knoll a lot, but every once in a while we gotta talk about the Knoll, especially when you go to the game. It's the Oklahoma Warriors who won the Knoll's Robertson Cup. So pretty big. Let's run down a couple of the big sort of names from that from the game. See what's going on with them.
Yeah, normally we don't have time to like fit in a lot of NHL news, but you know what? I mean, they finished up their season. They had their championship here in Minnesota, so I was able to go watch a bunch of the games, and they do have a ton of players committed to play D1. So, I mean, they are in the American pipeline. We just usually don't have a ton of time to talk about their news, but the Oklahoma Warriors won. They beat the Austin Bruins, and then the other two teams that made the top four were the Minnesota Wilderness and the Maryland Black Bears. So kind of teams from two Minnesota teams and then one from Oklahoma, one from Maryland. So kind of a little bit of all over, but it's always fun to kind of see who's committed and who's not on these Knoll rosters. I think two guys that definitely, I think probably should earn Division I commitments after this, William Lawson Body and Brenton Williams. They're both O2s, so they don't have any more junior eligibility left after this season. But they played awesome, and they both just worked their butts off this weekend when I watched them. So I hope a D1 team gives them a chance, because they were both really, really good this weekend. Both guys that aren't the biggest guys, so maybe that's maybe why they didn't have, you know, a ton of attention before this, but they both played awesome. Both goalies in the final, Daniel Duras, I believe, who's from Slovakia, and then Trent Wiemken, both uncommitted, and I thought they both had good performances. St. Cloud State recruit Isaac Posh played for the Wilderness. I thought he looked good too. And then some other players on the all-tournament team to look forward to: Owen Baumgartner, he's an Air Force commit. Jack Malinsky of Austin, he's a Vermont commit. Then just a couple other players for Austin I thought were good too. Walter Zacher, who's going to play for Robert Morris, I thought he played really good and was kind of just all over the ice and playing really good. And then there was a pair of twins, actually the Broussard twins. They were really good, also uncommitted. So I was like going and see who's committed, see who's not. And there's always a couple of really good players that come out of the Knoll every year that end up being awesome at the college hockey level. So I assume we'll see a couple of these players be big names here in the next year or two.
Absolutely. All right, going back to the USHL, it seems like the trade meter for them, the trade sort of market, it is never sleeping, never quiet. It's always going. We always wonder, what are future considerations? What happens when future considerations, reach the future? What are these considerations? Well, we now can put a face to the name. Madison, as part of an earlier trade, receives Chris Delaney and the rights to Harper Searles and Joey Marcina, either one. One of the, I get roasted for the name. From the Chicago Steel. It was part of an earlier Quinn Finley trade, but we finally see, the considerations into the future.
Yeah, there's been a couple of these. These are the ones where in the past weeks, it's like, it seems funny because they happen during the kind of like the playoffs. So it seems odd, but a lot of the times it's just the future considerations happening at the end of the year. And this is kind of another thing too, where it's teams looking at their roster. Who do they have for next year? Who's moving on to college? Who's staying and playing there? So it's kind of just teams looking at who they have for next year and sort of shifting things around. Who wants to go where? Does this player still want to play here? Do they want to move somewhere else? Like all of those different things. So Madison receives a couple of players here, and kind of interesting. So Chris Delaney, who was that first player, he's actually a younger guy, but he's already played two full USHL seasons. So I assume he's going to bring some experience and is going to be a regular in their lineup. Again, not the biggest guy, only listed as like 5'8", 5'9", but he's put up some points. He had 28 in 60 games this year for Chicago. So a guy that's going to bring some experience. He's already played a lot of USHL games, so he's going to know what he's doing. And then these other two are going to be newer players, and I don't know if they're going to be in Madison the full time or not. So kind of an example of that is Harper Searles, one of those players who is now, you know, rights to Madison. He's actually a guy who is going to be a senior in high school this upcoming year, and he's from Minnesota. So it's kind of like that debacle of, is he going to be playing his high school senior year, or is he going to decide to make that jump to the USHL and go there instead? It's always a tough decision for players. He's been really, really good at the high school level. He had 67 points in 27 games this past year, so a really great player. He had 20 goals, but he's currently uncommitted, so we'll see if he decides, you know, USHL might be better for him this year, or maybe he's going to try and do a before and after the season he'll play with them. And then that last player involved in that trade is another younger guy, Joey Macrina, I think is how you say his name. Another guy that's not huge, not bringing a ton of size, but another good forward. And he's actually from Pennsylvania and played for the Long Island Gulls this last year. So they get one kind of experienced prospect, and then they get two younger guys in that trade. So Madison kind of getting some prospects here and probably trying to figure out who's going to be on their roster for this upcoming season.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know, we have now reached the time of the show where we go through a team's American pipeline of prospects. And we've now reached the Los Angeles Kings. We are just ripping through these teams. Starting with the Los Angeles Kings, we're going to start with an absolute physical monster that they have on their back end. It is Jack Sparks from Muskegon of the USHL. This guy is 6'7", 229 pounds. He's a sixth round pick in 2022 from Ottawa. Holy smokes, that guy. That guy is a unit. More of a shutdown guy, as you say here, but you know, size will buy you a lot in the NHL.
Yeah, this guy is huge. He's listed as 6'7". I'm looking on his Elite Prospects page, but I read a report that also said 6'8", so I'm not really sure, but he's a huge dude, 6'7", 229 pounds, right shot defenseman. He's a really big guy. And obviously, if you're looking for a guy that's just a big defenseman, who's more of just that defensive defenseman, this is probably a pretty good bet, especially if you're looking to add some size to your blue line. Again, you know, not a guy who's going to be bringing you a ton of points, more of that defensive guy. He had a goal and 6 assists this year, or I guess 7 assists. He got traded midway through the year, so in the USHL this season. So he had technically like 8 points over the year. He played couple games for Lincoln and then got traded to Muskegon. Is a little bit more of a gritty player though, 133 penalty minutes this year. So definitely maybe a little bit more physical too. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does. It says he's committed here to Michigan State. You know, is he going to head there this fall? What's he going to do? I don't know. He turns 20 in October, so he would technically be eligible to play one more year of juniors. He played USHL this year, and he played in the OJHL last year. So we'll see what he decides to do, but just a huge, big right shot defender.
Absolutely. All right, next we have Braden Doyle from Northeastern. You know, 5'11", so, you know, seem like in a good range
not
of height.
Not 6 foot eight, but
not 6 foot eight, a little bit of a step, literally almost an entire foot shorter, but you know, not bad. 2019 sixth round pick, left shot defenseman.
Yeah, this is a player that kind of interesting here looking at his stats, because he played like 8 games with BU a year ago and then went back to the BCHL and then now this year played for Northeastern. So you kind of see that sort of strange jump sometimes. I know we've talked about it before on the show. If guys go to college, they feel like maybe they're not ready, or for whatever reason, they end up going back for juniors for a little bit and then end up committing somewhere else. So he actually did that. And he's 21 years old now. He's from Massachusetts, 5'11", left shot defender. He played in the USHL for a good amount of time and had some good amount of success there, and was a point per game player in the BCHL when he went back last year. But it seems like just in the NCAA, he hasn't really found like his point production once he's gone up to that level. Like in juniors, he's been able to put up a good amount of points. Like he's been able to do that as a defender, but it just seems like maybe there's another step he needs to be able to take at the NCAA level. So I assume he's going to be back at Northeastern again this fall. He had 8 points this year though, so nothing too shabby, but I assume there's still some progress to be made and he can keep going up to the next few levels. Since he's a sophomore, I believe he would only have 2 years of college hockey left since he did do that those couple of games at BU. So I assume he'll be back playing college hockey this fall.
Absolutely. You got to assume it. All right. Ben Meehan, UMass Lowell, 6 foot left shot defenseman, 22-year-old from Boston, 2020 fifth round pick.
Yeah. A good amount of defenders on this list here. Again,
yeah, 6 foot. Almost all defenders. This is insane.
There's a good amount of them on here, but this guy seems like he's just good defensively, and he's also been able to put up some points and be really good for UMass Lowell. And he had his best season actually points wise this year. He had 4 goals and 13 assists in 34 games, and he was a junior at UMass Lowell, so I assume he'll come back. He'll do his senior season this upcoming year and hopefully have his best season yet. He's originally from Boston and played 1 year in the USHL. Did pretty good there, and he seems like honestly a pretty solid pick, a guy that can put up some points, but is also seems like he's pretty sound defensively and 6 foot. So you know, he's not 6'8". He's not too tall, but he's also not too short. So seems like he's got a lot to like.
That's what you want to see. All right, we got Cole Krieger. Krieger? I'm just going to say Krieger.
Yeah.
He's originally Florida's seventh round pick, but his rights were traded to the Kings this past year. Kind of, you know, big shot, you know, big 6'3", almost 200-pound left shot defenseman from Michigan State. Now he's playing for the Kings AHL team. He's getting up there in age, though, at 23, but hey, who knows?
He was a guy that was, yeah, seventh round pick. So kind of one of those seventh round picks that never really know what they're going to do, but he's done pretty well. He used up his full college eligibility, 5 years at Michigan State, used that extra COVID year. And that actually did him a lot of good. He had his best season this last year. He only had, you know, his first 4 years, he had 1 goal, then 3 goals, then 2, then 4. And then this year he had 10. So I don't know if this year again, too, he was kind of like, you know what, it's my last year. I can play college hockey. Got to do the best I can too. But he had 10 goals this year, so that was cool. And he ended up signing with the AHL team, and he had 2 points in 8 games. So he was able to put up some offense there. His dad is Todd, who actually played in the NHL too. So if that last name sounds familiar, he's got some family members who have played hockey. He also has a twin brother who's playing in Bridgeport AHL. So there's quite a few of them kind of all over the place. And yeah, he seems like a player who he jumped into the AHL and was able to produce a couple points. So it seems like he was able to adapt to that next level.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We got Jared Wright from Denver, 20-year-old from your backyard in Minnesota. You know, now we finally have forwards. We're starting to move into the forward era of this. But yeah, 20-year-old from Minnesota, 6'3", a bit lanky, 183, but still 2022 sixth round pick. A lot of late round picks going to college here.
Yeah, maybe that's their plan, is get some college hockey players as the later round picks. But I think this is actually going to be a really good later round pick for a sixth round pick. I thought he had a pretty promising freshman season, and there was times when I would watch Denver and I thought he was really good. So I think he's going to end up being a good player, and he also has good size, being 6'3". Again, a lot of players in college take that time in college to kind of bulk up and fill out a little bit, so that's never really a problem. That's kind of what college hockey is for. But I think he has a lot of potential, being 6'3" and having that good size. And this year too, he had 12 points in 34 games as a freshman, and he had 8 goals. So I thought he had pretty promising stats, especially for a Denver team that's always pretty deep, pretty hard to get in the lineup. So I think he's going to be a really fun prospect to have if you're a LA Kings fan. And I think he's definitely going to be a guy who will be in college hockey for a little while, but I think he's going to be a really good prospect.
Absolutely. All right. Now we got Kenny Connors from UMass. Again, another forward, 6'1", center, and another sort of later round pick, 2022 fourth round pick, drafted as an overager.
This is another guy that had a really promising freshman year, I thought. He had 26 points in 32 games, so that's not very easy to do for a lot of people. And he also played in the World Junior Cup. He had 2 goals when he was there. So he's a guy who definitely is a really good player. He played 2 years in the USHL. His second year, he was almost a point per game player. So really good. He's got decent size too, being 6'1", almost 200 pounds. So I think this is another guy that will probably take a couple years in NCAA, at least probably, you know, two or three, kind of like Jared Wright, but really promising future, I think, and a great player to have in your pipeline.
Absolutely. Then we got Jack Hughes. What? I thought he was on the Devils. No, this is the other Jack Hughes. He's from Northeastern, 2022 second round pick. And his brother is Riley Hughes. Geez, these Hughes guys, man, like they're just infiltrating hockey and they're totally different families. His brother is Riley Hughes, who was a New York Rangers pick. But Jack is a 5'11 center from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those where we talked about the his brother the other time too, and it's like, no, it's not the main Hughes family, it's the other Hughes family, but this Hughes family is also really good. So maybe you just, you know, need to have that last name, I guess, and you're destined to be a pretty good hockey player. But yeah, so this is Jack Hughes, but not the Jack Hughes, but a different Jack Hughes, but he's still good. So kind of interesting there, but he's a guy who played on the national team a while back, and he's in his sophomore season, just finished it up at Northeastern. He had 16 points in both his freshman and sophomore season. So being a forward, I've heard he can also play center. I think that he probably could put up a little bit more point production, maybe just because, you know, he's 16 and 32 is decent, but could probably get that next step there. So I assume he's going to be back for another year of college hockey here at Northeastern coming up this fall.
We will have to wait and see. And then finally, we got Alex Laferriere. No, not Lafreniere in New York. I feel like this team is just solely drafting guys to confuse people. But maybe they are not. Maybe. Alex Laferriere, he's a forward as well, 21-year-old from New Jersey. He's a 2020 third round pick.
Yeah, he's already playing, or was playing in AHL with Ontario after his season ended with Harvard. He only needed 2 years at Harvard. His freshman year, he was just shy of a point per game, and this year he had over a point per game. He's a guy who everybody has always known he's going to be really good, because in the USHL he had great numbers. He had great numbers in the NCAA. He's just been great at like every level he's played so far. So it's a guy that I'm sure for LA, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets NHL time fairly early next year, just because he's a really good player. He's shown that he can play at like every level, and he was a third round pick. So obviously not like those first two rounds, but he was, I think, the highest pick on this list of pipeline prospects that we had. I think we had a lot of sixth and seventh round picks here. So he's a guy, a lot of promise. He's shown he can produce at literally every level he's played so far. So might take some time to develop an AHL, but I assume this is a guy that will probably at some point end up making his way to pro hockey in the NHL.
Absolutely. I mean, it would be a pretty crazy twist if Laferriere ended up being better than Lafreniere.
That would be a little crazy. Yeah,
that would be nuts. And there's a decent chance that happens. So it'd be crazy. But we will have to wait at least until next episode to find out if that happens, because we reach the end of the show. Sydney, thanks again for doing this. Go to thehockeynews.com/podcast to listen to old episodes or new episodes or any episodes of this podcast and all the other The Hockey News podcasts. We'll be back next week. Stay safe.